How you doing there? Just a quickie before we start. On the Apple podcast, why don't you double click on David McWilliams Plus? It's right there when you open the podcast. You get ad-free, you unlock early access. Just double click and away you go. David McWilliams Plus. You get this pure and simple.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To understand the economy, you have to understand human nature.
This podcast is powered by Acast.
How you doing there? It is the podcast time. I hope all is well in your life. You're not getting as depressed as I am in Ireland. If you're not from Ireland, we'll just be quick on this affliction that it has rained constantly. It is like a biblical deluge. I actually thought I saw Noah walking by looking for two pairs of every species to put in the ark so that we could actually...
So two economists walking by.
Two economists, a male and female economist. I wonder what happens when economists mate.
Do you know what I find?
They produce another economist.
God, I hope not. Exactly. But do you know what I find interesting about Irish people in general is that we always talk about the weather and complain about the weather. Marker, you've been in this country, on this planet for 56 years. Are you not used to it yet?
No, but John, I woke up this morning. I get that, man. I get that. But I woke up this morning. I just stop. Just stop. Actually, you know, I mentioned Noah's Ark, right? I was reading something fantastic the other day. About, this is a total segue before we start, right. About the story of Noah's Ark and why so many cultures have the story of the Great Flood in them. So many ancient, because it happened.
Yes.
And somebody saw it and they passed it down to their kids. And I was reading something about how the Black Sea was formed.
Yes.
And it's an extraordinary story. So the Atlantic eventually creates this rupture in the land between Africa and Spain.
Yeah,
at Gibraltar.
Gibraltar, yeah.
And that millions of cubic litres of water gush into the Mediterranean. And then over thousands of years, that little small sliver of land around Marmaris in Turkey also breaks. And the water floods into the Black Sea. And people saw this.
Yeah.
And they told their kids about it.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by that.
But if you look at this, obviously did happen. If you look at the geology of the Mediterranean Sea, it was a desert at one stage.
And as was the Black Sea, wasn't
it? Yes, yeah.
And it was a big indentation.
Yeah. This is where kind of legend, fact blends into legend.
Into Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But on Mount Ararat in Turkey is the resting place of the Ark itself.
That's where it got stuck.
And you're not allowed to climb it.
Okay, that's one for John and I are going to do a podcast from Mount Ararat in search of the Ark. And we're going to talk about Noah, economist mating, and why it rains in Ireland and why that gets in our wick after a while.
But anyway, get back to the real business of why we're here. Something I have noticed actually over the last while is that there seems to be a load of property, houses, up for sale. Particularly more high-end property up for sale. But just all of a sudden, it's kind of those for sale signs right, left and centre.
You know what's happening? You know exactly what's happening.
What?
This is, look, you know, we spoke about this a year or two ago when we said, look, buyer's strike, don't touch the market. Mm. There's too much going on. Right? What is happening now, 2 months ago, there was a buyer's panic. There was still a buyer's panic of couples, young couples in particular, climbing over each other to try and get to something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sellers were like, oh, those fuckers are panicking. We're just going to hold off. We're going to hold off. We're going to hold off. We'll get another 10 grand, 20 grand. We're going to hold off, right? So in a buyer's panic, the seller's market dries up. What's happening now is the sellers are panicking. So they are putting their houses on the market because they can sense it's about to peak.
Yeah.
Right? And they're saying, now, Jesus, we better put
this is estate agents kind of stirring it up.
This is estate agents whispering. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Estate agents always would have whispered to the seller in the buyer's panic, oh, don't worry, just hold off for a few months and don't put it on. And oh my God, we've got another, you know. So they're managing. Now estate agents are saying to the people who should have put their houses up for sale 6 months ago, put them up for sale, yeah. Right? Get them out before the market peaks. There's still money around. Because who knows what's going to happen next week or next year.
Yeah.
So what you're having is all those properties that are coming on the market in clusters now, all around Dublin. By the way, you might even see it in your own place, wherever you're listening.
Yeah.
Look at it. This is a great telltale sign that the market is turning. So the sellers are now panicking. The buyers have stepped away. They're saying, there's no value here. Interest rates are rising. I'm worried about my actual income because the rate of inflation's eating into my take-home income. Let's just chill out. So what you're seeing in actual fact, we're going to be talking to Katie Martin about tech in a minute.
Right.
And it's the same fear. It's the fear of the coming recession. So what's actually happening in the Irish housing market that you've identified by strolling around the leafy suburbs of South Dublin
indeed
is a supplier's panic. And that's a telltale sign that the market's going down.
And you know what? It's not the only market that's heading down, because over the last week, 2 weeks, the tech market has been tanking.
Let's talk about the cockroach theory of investing.
The cockroach.
The cockroach. You know, if you're in New York and you see, you know, the Americans have this expression.
Yeah.
Cockroaches never come in once.
Yes. Okay?
So if you see a cockroach, it means there's 1,000 in your apartment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You turn on the light, you see these little things scurrying across. They never come in ones, right?
So what's the theory?
The cockroach theory of tech is that these balance sheets don't implode in ones.
Yeah.
So it's not just Microsoft or it's not just Metaverse, right? That basically what has happened is so much money has gone into these things. The prices have shot through the roof. Now people are realizing, hold on a second, these guys are all hype. Yes, there is a technology underneath it, but actually, in a bit like cockroaches, when one bad earnings comes in, the bulls in the bull markets, oh, it's just that company. It's just that company. That's an exception. Bullshit. What has actually happened is they've all got bad earnings. And this is what happened. So basically, it's like one cockroach leading to loads of cockroaches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is like the second tech bubble burst. So this the first one was the dot-com bubble that burst. So this is the second one.
And this is much bigger.
Right,
and it's bursting right in front of our eyes. Now, you can look at what's happening in the world. You can say, like, it's high inflation.
Yeah.
You know, Europe has got this huge, huge political, economic, social, what you almost call a polycrisis going on in Europe. Central banks are tightening all around the world. QT, which is quantitative tightening, not quantitative easing, is going on.
So that's a new one.
They're withdrawing liquidity all the time. All these things are happening. At the same time, the Chinese property market is collapsing, as we're going to talk about on Thursday. So all these things are coming together, which are totally changing the perception of risk. So there's this idea in markets. One's called risk on and one's called risk off. So when risk is on...
That's from the Karate Kid, isn't it? Wipe on, wipe off.
Exactly. Same idea, John. So when it's risk on, basically all bad news is discounted as unique. It's just one cockroach.
Yeah.
Right? Don't worry about this. We're all going together. That's when it's risk on, right? When it's risk off, everything that's bad is amplified.
Okay.
And that's exactly what's happening in tech markets. And the best one, of course, is your friend Elon Musk.
Oh, yes, indeed. I don't know what he's up to.
I'll tell you what he's up to. He's up to going bankrupt. That's what he's up to.
Do you reckon?
Look, he bought Twitter.
Yeah.
The guy he bought Twitter off, Jack Dorsey, is just setting up his own new Twitter called Blue Sky.
Which is amazing, but if it becomes a subscription thing, I don't see the point of
it. Well, let's look at the finance of what's going on.
Mm.
So Elon Musk, big balls Elon Musk, decides that he's going to buy Twitter, right? Last year. They announced the deal, I think it was in March or April. The deal valued every share at Twitter at $53 a share. The overall value, I think $44 billion or something, right? Now, Musk doesn't have that money, even though he's very rich. So what Musk did, he basically dangled this deal in front of Wall Street. And all those morons, right, said, oh my God, Elon Musk. So the banks, the big investment banks, pledged to come in behind him, signed contracts with him saying, we will back you.
Right, okay.
So Musk said, I don't know what exactly the figures are. Let's say it's $44 billion. Musk said, I'll come up with $20 billion myself or $25 billion. You guys come up with 20. And we're all in this biggest IPO the world has ever seen. All this sort of stuff. And things can only get better, right?
Yeah.
This is at a time when inflation is at 1%. Interest rates are at 1%. Yeah. The war has started, but everyone thinks it's going to be quick. Remember, everyone thought it's going to be a six-week war, seven-week war. So all those guys get in there, right? And the banks don't have the money. They borrow from investors.
Yes.
So what happens is, they say, okay, we're going to do this deal. We want to borrow from you. Investors say, fine. So the deal was meant to be signed in April.
Yeah.
But then Musk gets cold feet, right?
Yes.
So then they basically stretch it out over the summer. All the news in the summer is bad, 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 bad. All the tech company shares are falling, 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 falling. Elon, big balls, is stuck into the deal that he made in March at $53 a share. The banks are stuck. And his friend Larry Ellison and all those guys are all stuck because they all committed money to him then, right? Right now, the share price of Twitter, look at the share price of Meta, of Google, of Snapchat.
Yeah.
The share price of Twitter is now equal to, would be equal if it was trading, to $13 a share. He buys it at $53 a share. It's actually worth $13 a share. This is the biggest destruction of capital the world has ever seen. From the richest man in the world, right?
Just explain a little bit more to me.
Okay, so it's trading in the open market, but because it's in play, the market knows that somebody, i.e. Elon Musk and his mates, are in behind it, obliged to buy it at this price.
Right.
That's why it's trading at 53. But if you took out the Elon Musk factor, and if it were actually trading as a normal tech company, it would be following the similar trajectory as has happened to Meta, as has happened to Apple.
So the deal itself is just keeping
it up. Well, because the deal itself means it's in play because the market knows that somebody's going to buy it at that price.
Right, okay.
Because Musk has already signed to buy it at that price. So that what you're seeing now is not the real value. So the reason that, for example, if you look at Twitter's valuation in the last month, right, it's bobbed around, the share's bobbed around. If you look at Facebook, if you look at Google, if you look at Apple, if you look at Microsoft, if you look at Netflix,
I saw Netflix down 70%.
So the reason that the market's not telling you the truth on Twitter is that it's in play.
Yeah.
So there is a buyer already committed to buy at that price. That's why it's staying up there. If that buyer were taken away and it were actually to follow the trajectory of the rest of the market, those shares would have collapsed. Now, lots of people say it's worth X, it's worth Y. But what you can see is that there's no way this thing's worth $53 a share. Now, some analysts are saying 13, some analysts are saying 17, some analysts are saying 20, some analysts are saying it's even going to go lower.
Wow.
But the point is, the destruction of capital is real. Now, what happens in the banking world? And this is the fascinating, this is the follow the money, right?
Yeah.
So the banks now are on the hook to Elon. And I know from talking to people in the market that they're now, the bonds that they had to raise to pay the money to Elon are now trading at a massive discount, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So we should buy them for the pension fund, right? the Dave McElhinney's podcast pension fund should go to Wall Street and say, you see those really, because the only way you're going to get value now is buying those bonds that are at a crappy, crappy discount.
Yeah.
Because everybody now knows that Elon has blown. It could be $30 billion in this deal. $30 billion up in smoke.
Wow.
Because of ego.
Yeah.
So
Elon is a smart guy.
He's done
some great stuff, but it's when the ego takes over. That's when everything goes to shit.
But this is the thing. So imagine you are Jack Dorsey, the guy who set up Twitter.
Yeah.
You've just been paid for a company.
He's even more zen now.
He's because he's sitting around growing his beard in Thailand or whatever he's doing. He's all zen, right? And he's set up a competitor.
Yeah.
You've just trousered, right, about 30 billion surplus that you know the company's not valued at.
Yeah.
So he's sitting, it's not him, it's the shareholders and all the other owners. But my point is, right, what we have is the most profound destruction of wealth the world has ever seen in one deal. It's a bit like saying, we talk about houses at the top. It's a bit like saying, I'll buy your house for 200 grand, right?
Mm.
Okay, and you're committed and you've done the paperwork.
Yeah.
But you can't close until next March and the houses are worth 150 grand next March. You've actually lost 50, but you still have to come up with the money.
Yes.
So your wealth is destroyed.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a cautionary lesson.
It's like a negative equity.
It's like a massive negative equity. It's like negative equity, except you take all the impact now. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, okay. I understand. I get you now. I get you now. Maybe I will become a trader.
I'm telling you, it's in your DNA, John. So John, the Twitter is just an example of what's going on now.
Mm.
Let's look. All the rest of them are collapsing. This has huge ramifications for Ireland, for people working in these companies, for rents of swanky apartments in Dublin 2 and Dublin 4, who are renting to these people, and for office space, all sorts of ramifications. But let's go to Katie Martin in London, the FT's Markets editor. Now, for those of you going to Kilconomics on this weekend, one of the starlets of the gig is Katie Martin, the Markets correspondent guru of the Financial Times. We are now going to talk about the carnage in tech stocks. Katie, yes. How are you? I'm looking forward to seeing you next weekend.
I feel like you're overselling me here.
that's English understatement. So you've got the cultural difference between Ireland and England just there, right?
Yes.
We oversell and you understate.
There's a bit of that, but also I was, it's funny, I was talking to my sister about this earlier. Like if at any point you find yourself suffering from even the slightest hint of imposter syndrome, just remember, Liz Truss was Prime Minister of the UK for 44 days. And she didn't appear to suffer from this. So it's, you know, put yourself out there. You're right.
The awful thing is that you're suggesting that Liz Truss might have some Irish blood in her. That this to use that great Irish word chutzpah that we all have. I won't Liz Truss you. I won't talk about Rishi Sunak. But how are you dealing with the trauma? Is it okay? Have you seen help? Is the whole English race finding help, touching each other?
It's been a thing. It does feel like, I don't think we're making it up, everyone is laughing at us. Like, it sounds like there was a fair amount of what the hell are the Brits doing going on at the IMF meeting, you know, but new era, new foot forward. But, you know, it's going to take a while for us to shake this off, I think. And it has been quite sort of embarrassing, yeah.
You know what's been fascinating for us doing this podcast is every time we discuss the UK, but you see this massive spike in listenership, and that's coming from the UK. So what we find is that I think British people are actually interested in what other people are thinking, because I think they've probably thought, hold on a second, but a lot of people in the UK who give opinions on economics or politics are really committed to one side or the other. They're either Labour supporters or Tories, or that kind of Mickey Mouse outfit, what's it called, the Liberal Democrats.
Something like that.
Exactly. But I mean, I think there is a sense of, wow, you know, the other people have an opinion on us and that opinion is not always great. But I mean, it's just a bit of bond market, you know, jiggery pokery. It's just going to cost you more to borrow. And
look, it's a teachable moment, I think, for the rest of the world. You know, yes, we messed up, but other countries do have the capacity to mess up like we did. And I think, I suspect this is something we'll get into in huge volumes in Kilconomics, but this is, you know, markets can teach you a lesson. And also what my beautiful segue into big tech is that, you know, Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng had to sell their story. They failed to do it properly. Big tech suddenly has a story that it has to sell. It's just been able to like bowl through the market saying, look at us, we're big tech. Of course, people are going to buy our shares. And now it's like, oh, okay, we have to prove ourselves because the market environment has changed. And they got taken to the woodshed this week.
Well, listen, let's look at the numbers, the companies, what happened in the last couple of days of trading.
You want some big numbers? I'll give you a big number. At one point, big tech stocks, you know, this collection of kind of Meta, which we're all too old to call Meta as Facebook, Microsoft, Alphabet, brackets, Google, all of these guys, big tech sort of in the round, though the valuation of those companies at one point was down by almost $1 trillion at one point this week.
That's so ridiculous.
It's a chunk of change. Some of the share price moves were sort of enormous. You know, Meta, Facebook to you and me, went down 20% at one point. Amazon went down about 7%. And because these companies are so huge, that very quickly adds up to a vast amount of money. And there's a couple of threads running through
Give us the why. I mean, because again, a bit like yourself, lots and lots of people kind of were in the camp. And I know it's all changed this year, but still the general idea is, oh my God, there's something amazing happening in those companies, which means that over the next 10 years, they're going to generate enormous returns. And this is going to validate these huge valuations. And they have, and now it's like, oh, maybe not.
Well, these sorts of companies, you know, your Microsofts, your Alphabets, your Amazons, they're not like sketchy little tech companies that are basically untested and, you know, pretend to make electric vehicles or batteries or whatever it is that's the kind of great new frontier. These are pretty established companies. But one of the kind of slightly scary things that's running through what a lot of them were saying is that ad revenue is in serious trouble. Okay. And if ad revenue is in trouble, that tells you the consumer is in trouble. And if the consumer is in trouble, are we actually going to do this recession thing? Is it now? That's the bit that is kind of quite scary on a macro level. So yeah, online ads for Facebook were just a train wreck. Profits were just like down. I think it was about 50%. Mark Zuckerberg is calling for patience from investors, which is never a great sign.
It's not a good line.
You need to work on that.
It's like, bear with me. All will be kosher. Bear with me. I'm just trying to sort out some shit here. But look the other way and I'll be fine.
Well, look the other way and definitely not at the vast amounts of money I'm spending on the metaverse, which, you know, it looks rubbish. So maybe I'm too old, maybe I don't get it, but ye gods, it looks like the internet from the late 90s, early noughties.
It looks like that Second Life game that people played.
Yeah, they're taking it seriously and spending just like a metric ton of money on this thing. Like just, and so investors are saying, you know, really? Are we still doing this metaverse thing that, you know, you haven't even properly managed to give these metaverse people legs yet? And it's cost you like these floating avatars. So, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe we will be having this conversation on the metaverse this time next year and then there'll be egg on our face. But at the moment, the market is not in the mood for, you know, half-baked ideas and serious challenges to business models. So yeah, that's the thread that's kind of running through this whole thing. And with Amazon, what the scary thing there is that they were saying they expected their revenues in the fourth quarter, which incorporates Christmas, to be $15 billion less than analysts had thought. Now, $15 billion, more than I get paid in a year. I dare say it's even more than you get paid in a year. But they're still looking at revenues of like $145-ish billion in the fourth quarter. Amazon is not going to go bust here. But this is Amazon's way of saying the consumer is not as healthy as you might think. And yes, you know, US employment data is great. You know, you look at the jobs market and you think, what recession risk? What on earth is everyone worrying about? But they're worried that spending is in trouble. Maybe if people have, you know, run down the savings that they built up during COVID, and inflation is obviously doing its thing. And
there's a small world war maybe possibly going on, and there's climate change, and there's interest rates that may well go up to 6 or 7% in the US. I mean, there's a lot going down there.
US mortgage rates, I think, about 6-7% now.
Already,
it's mad.
Yeah. You know, and they were at one. So on the one hand, you've got this metaverse. This is all bonkers valuations, huge amounts, $1 trillion lost. But this is real money at one set, because these companies were using their share prices almost as currency, right? As the share price went up, they could buy new stuff and they could expand. And I'm looking at, for example, Dublin's Docklands are full of very, very, very glossy, you know, chrome and glass Google sales pitches. Facebook sales places, so Twitter sales places, all this. We're going to come to Twitter in a second, right? But so the real impact is that these companies now need to get their costs under control in order for the market. You talk about, it's a bit like Liz Truss. Liz Truss said, look, we're going to borrow all this money and don't be worried about the budget deficit. Don't be worried about the current account deficit. We'll sort out the market. Say, now, hold on a second. Just recalibrate here. We're going to get this lad Rishi in here because he's good at the maths and he's good at sums and he's a good little balance sheet boy and he's going to do the budget stuff for us and then we're going to be kosher, right? So the same thing is going on with Meta. So somebody's going to say to Google now, okay, the warning for you guys is stop spending.
A colleague of mine made a very clever point, which I'm going to claim as my own, which is, you know, yes, Mark Zuckerberg got trust, basically. You know, the market did the same to him as it did to Liz Truss. The thing is, you can't get rid of Mark Zuckerberg. Even if he fires.
Yeah, because he's kickboxing too much at the moment. That's his other thing.
He's very busy kickboxing.
When John Davis across the way takes to kickboxing, I know he's lost the plot.
You know, there is no kind of Rishi Sunak on the horizon to come and sort this situation out over there. So, you know, either Zuckerberg's grand vision works out or it's going to find itself treated very, very differently in the markets from now on. Because investors, my God, they've had a stinker of a year. It's just been horrific. You know, US stocks, last time I checked, down about 20% this year. Bond market has been an absolute bin fire, so they can't even pad up their portfolios with that stuff. They are not in the mood for spending, but giving money to Mark Zuckerberg to put into Second Life Mark II. It's not the time to be doing these kind of grand projects because fund managers are absolutely not having it.
Yeah, no, it's like that moment when the child goes to the dad who's actually really pissed off and has just lost his job and says, no, you can't have an extra 20 quid.
Yeah.
So this is important. So the psychology of the market's completely and utterly changed. So any sort of flannel is going to be discarded.
You've got to be able to sell your story. It doesn't matter if you're Kwasi Kwarteng or Mark Zuckerberg or anyone in between. You've got to be able to sell your story or markets are not having it. Now, at some point, markets will have it again because these things ebb and flow, and there's lots of what we call cash on the sidelines, right? Investors have got a huge, like much more than usual amount of money sitting around in cash, waiting for something fun to spend it on that they think will actually work. So when we start to get an upswing, we'll get a hell of an upswing. But right now, particularly with tech companies that are the best thing we have as a barometer of the health of economies and consumers, the moment they're saying this is not looking great, so investors are just, they're super nervous and they don't want to make any more massive mistakes towards the end of the year.
Now, let's just focus on the big deal this weekend, of course, is Elon Musk buying...
Great guy, handsome, wise, a fine steward of Twitter, which I don't want him to kick me off, yes.
Yeah, and apparently he's not even eating lunch these days. He's on a new keto diet, okay? So he's going to be even more handsome in a couple of weeks' time. If that's possible.
If you can imagine such a thing.
Exactly. If you can hold on to your chair there, darling. Right. Now, listen, here we have a man who has just paid $53 a share for a company that analysts now reckon is worth $14 a share.
Yes. What an gives? Absolute, what a blinder by the CEO who he's just fired.
Exactly. So the CEO is just fired. He's going to get about 100 million for being kicked out the door. Okay.
What a job he's done for the shareholders.
An extraordinary job he's done for the shareholders. Give me your sense of that deal before we go.
I mean, I think, look, not everything is about Liz Truss, Katie. Keep telling yourself, not everything is about Liz Truss. But he is the mistrust
of Twitter.
He is also going to collide with reality in the sense that he's like, look at my wonderful free speech platform. And then already some of the advertisers are saying, I'm out. And he's like, there's going to be a moderation panel and there's obviously going to be standards. And so he's going to learn the hard way that if he wants to keep the ad revenue coming in, I mean, what does he care? He's got more money than God. He can probably afford to lose it. But, if he's going to keep advertisers sweet, then we cannot let Twitter just be this vile cesspit of racist, homophobic, misogynist, everything else nonsense. You know, it's not going to fly, you know, unless he's just going to turn it into a huge ad platform for Teslas.
Buy my car. Buy more of my cars.
Yes.
Have you gone to space yet with me? Have you bored a hole under the ground?
Yes. Have you been in a really long tunnel that you can't get out of in the event of a fire?
Yeah. Exactly. In an electric car.
Yes. There's a range of products and services I have to sell you. Yeah, I suspect he is going to have to back down on some of his more forceful notions on free speech. And, you know, it is difficult. But again, you know, he's also got rid of some of the executives at Twitter who had really grappled with this, who understood the complexities. You know, what he's going to learn is he doesn't want this to be about politics. He just wants this to be like a fun place where everyone shares ideas. But I'm sorry, in the real world, it is about politics and it is about human beings and dignity, and words matter. Look what happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband the other day. You know, words matter, and he's going to have to suck that up, I'm afraid.
But just very briefly on the tech thing before we go, Kate, right?
Yeah.
You're covering this for the FT, you're covering Marcus for the FT, you're covering all these various interactions. In fact, it's so complex. It's, you know, at some point you're doing bonds and then you're doing foreign exchange and then you're doing politics and then you're doing, you know, what's your sense of where this tech thing is going?
Well, the interesting thing is it doesn't matter whether you're writing about bonds, foreign exchange, stocks, whatever, everything comes down to inflation. Inflation is the only thing that holds, you know, it really that low inflation we had all those years really tied the room together, like the Big Lebowski's rug. You know, it was great. It enabled a lot of things to work properly. Inflation is just a complete nightmare for every asset class on the planet, really. And yeah, I think the outlook for big tech to a large extent depends on how far the US economy can get through this inflationary burst without getting tipped into recession. Again, employment numbers look great, you know, and it's difficult to imagine a full-blown recession while people have jobs. But everything is dominated by this one question. When is this horrible inflation going to go away? And are we nearly there yet on this horrible year that we've had in stocks? Are we nearly there yet on the Fed, on central banks? Are they going to ease up on us ever? You know, I think it's premature to think that they will. I think next year's not going to be a walk in the park either.
Just before we go, right? Now, yeah, I know that you are encouraging the guests of Kilconomics to do a park run.
Yes, on Saturday always. Morning.
I'm very, very impressed. 9:30.
Yes. Kilkenny Park.
Kilkenny
I've
Park.
I've looked it up.
Okay. I can't believe you're doing that. It's so impressive. I'll be there. I'll be there in my tightest shorts. Okay. I'll be there in my hot pants. Okay.
I look forward to it even more in that
case. Katie Martin. Talk to you in the weekend.
See
Cheers.
You soon.
Bye.
So Spandex Dave, eh?
I'm telling you, you should see
Spandex and brogues.
These hot pants. I'm telling you, you're going to see me in hot pants and rollerblades. That's what I'll do the park run with.
Well, I tell you what, I think I need a little break and do some ads with that thought in my head.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So Katie's key message then is you got to sell your story.
Yeah, it's very good,
for the tech bros to sell their story properly because they've had cheap money for the last 10 years.
And hype. Cheap money and hype.
Yeah.
And always, there's always a grain of truth to everything. So technology does change the world. Technology does create enormous disruptions. If you're on the right side of it, you can make huge profits. So that is true, whether it's railway shares in the past, whether it's even canal shares years ago, or whether it's these tech shares now. So that's true. But you're right. What Katie's saying is the market now is skeptical of your story. And any flannel and any wooliness and any like, oh, buy my dream, you know, okay? People are like, man.
Buy my dream.
Yeah, but that's what they're saying. Buy my dream, yeah. Right? You know, they're saying, no, not this time around now. But there is like all these things you've got to see through the ramifications. These large companies, right? Ireland has either made a bet on or has been betted on by them, right? So you know our huge corporation tax increase, right?
Yeah.
A lot of that is coming from large tech companies, Facebook, Google, some from Twitter, but very, very little. But Facebook, Google, those sort of ones, right?
Yeah.
Who are selling ads in Dublin. They're not doing the technology, the engineering. They're selling ads, right? What we've seen is the ads are the leading indicator. It's ad revenue has fallen, right?
Yeah.
And as ad revenue falls, those guys will retrench. And one of the great messages the market is saying, you know what? You couldn't control your costs. We're with you on the upswing, but unless you can control your cost, your profit margin squeeze. So now the focus on all these, it's going to be like Rishi Sunak. Focus is going to be on saving money, cutting costs, balancing budgets, all the stuff the tech guys have never done. Because the thing about tech is you never had to balance your budget when the momentum was completely behind you.
Yeah, of course.
But now you've got to look like an old business.
Yeah.
A business that makes,
grow up.
Makes a profit, has got cost ratios, has got all this. The implication for Dublin, remember we started with the housing market at the top.
Yeah.
Is that a little bit of the dynamo, of the free dynamo, that was generating down in Silicon Docks, percolating down into high-end restaurants in Dublin, very expensive restaurants, percolating down into high-end apartments, percolating down into excessive tax takes as well, that may well stop. So 2023 could be the year that that tech, not bubble, that tech dream, that tech naivety evaporates and evaporates very quickly.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.